What's up, everyone? And this is Next Level Thinking.
What's up, everyone? This is another episode of Next Level Thinking, where we always inspire you to take that next step and take it to the next level because we want you to get the best out of your life. So today I have a special guest by the name of
Serena McBride,
who's doing some pretty big things in Houston. So I'm bringing her to the show as your host, Chris Holmes. So, but go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself so we get familiar with you.
Okay, so my name is Serena McBride, and I go by Tia for short. My nickname. And I'm a native Estonian. I've been in Houston pretty much all my life, me and my family, except when I went away for college. Okay. I went to East Coast and West Coast for college. But Houston was growing at such a dynamic rate, and there was a lot of opportunities here, so I ended up coming back to the city, graduating from University of Houston Bauer School of Business. And after graduation, I went into the oil and gas field.
Oh, wow.
On the accounting side, and working in an accounting department. And a few years ago, I got my real estate license, and I've been a full-time real estate agent since then. So I left oil and gas and went into real estate. Okay. So currently, that's what I do.
Nice, nice. Awesome. So pretty much gathered that you pretty much stayed in Houston for a good amount of time. So, like, what is, like, the biggest changes you've seen so far? I know, like, everything's moving so fast, especially with the internet. But, like, what's the biggest change from, like, high school to now?
Yeah, so Houston, the population increased. We became the fourth largest city in the United States. So that's one of the biggest changes. A lot of jobs, medical jobs, like, we built up our medical center area. And then that has created a lot of opportunity in the medical field and other industries like oil and gas and tech companies have moved here. We expanded even like the fashion industry, like a lot of people would have to travel to, you know, when I was up, a lot of people would travel like, I guess, like New York or Miami, you know, to shop at all like the more name brand department store with stores, and then a lot of them started moving here into the Galleria area, so right. That has expanded, and then the restaurant industry has taken off so much, so that there's just like, you can find everything, every type of food that you crave, and before, when I was growing up, it wasn't like that, it was kind of very limited on the eateries that were available. Our nightlife has grown as well, and the city has expanded the amount of clubs or activities for the city to do.
Mm-hmm. Sound like Houston pretty much
changed a lot.
It has. It sounds like Houston growing a lot, especially for opportunities, jobs, and especially with entrepreneurs. You keyed on an important thing when you were talking about the fashion trends and with the technology and things like that. And then, as you said earlier, like used to be, if you want to go for like fashion, you had to go way to up northeast in New York and all of that. But now, it's like Houston has become one of the main hot spots now with like all the things that's going on, the improvements.
Exactly.
And like the Super Bowl, it's like Houston's like the hot spot of like the U.S. So.
I totally forgot about the Super Bowl. So now, yeah, we're getting like the major sporting events. And we have the Houston Dynamo, so we have, like, the soccer team. We didn't have that, I think, 10 or 15 years ago, we didn't have the soccer team.
Okay.
So we have a soccer team, and we have newer, you know, we built new stadiums for all the top professional sports. So, yeah, the city can definitely hold pretty much any major event.
Awesome. So, like, with all of this new opportunity, what do you think is, like, the biggest newest challenge, like, cause with everything, of course, the growth and the speed is great, but what are some of the new challenges that you have faced yourself and you think is coming for any other new coming business owners?
I see a lot of opportunity. The only challenge I see is probably for the city itself, just keeping up with the demand of maybe like the housing and the jobs are still there in the city. I don't think we have any challenges with employment.
I think
there's layoffs, but there's still so much opportunity and even there, but
Oh, definitely.
No, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
You good, but definitely with that. But I guess I was like kind of keying on like the competition with like the rapid increase of the growth and so many people coming to the Houston area. You have a lot more people in your industry now than it was just like the very few. And you pretty much, I feel like you got to stay on top of your game. How about you feel? How you? This, like, what kind of put you in the direction to go towards real estate? Was like something you saw on TV? Did you have a passion for something that kind of pushed it forward? So, like, how did it all like unfold?
Oh, I'm sorry, say that question over. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
I'm perfectly fine. I was pretty much like, what basically got you started into real estate? Like, what was the main drive or passion for it? It's like how much you put into it. Of course, there is that flexibility, but if you don't put in the work, you're not going to get the results that you want. And you also keep on something else very important. Like a lot of the top, I call them top dogs in entrepreneurship, they have added an additional stream of income of real estate. One of my favorite ones that have gotten into this kind of business is Damon John, as we all know, the creator of FUBU and things like that. And like real estate is very becoming more popular with entrepreneurs. Even another one a popular one I know is like Grant Cardone and many others I'm pretty sure people know of. that just built this up. Because like once, I feel like if you own some kind of property, there's so much you can do with that. You can put a franchise on it, restaurant, you can sell it back. I mean, you may have, there's just so many different things you can do once you have property to like just have the income coming for almost a lifetime and more.
Yes, and then you can pass it out to your kids, and it's really good to have own. You definitely need, like, if you have a, there's nothing wrong with having, like, a day job. I always tell people, sometimes people want to leave their day job, get into real estate, and I'm like, you know, just, if you can, just keep, stay where you're working, because that might be a $50,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year job for you, and then just have the real estate on as just extra, you know, add more properties. You know, and if you buy four of them, $250,000, that's your, you know, your net worth is now $1 million.
Right.
And then as those double over 10, 20 years, then you have $2 million, you sell it. Now you have the $2 million, and then you have whatever you've been investing over that time period into your 401k or saving.
Gotcha. Now, I got to ask.
Yeah, you just add it on to what you're already doing. Unless you
want
to do it as a full-time career as an agent.
Very true. Now, I got to ask this because you hit one of those terms. Like, so if you can explain, like, what determines a person's net worth exactly? Is it, like, assets, what they have? I feel like there's a lot of confusion when it comes to net worth. So, like, can you explain to the audience, like, what that all in brings?
Well, the equation in accounting, assets minus liabilities, that's your net worth. What the number is after you have your assets. So if you have a $100,000 house and you owe $50,000, then your net worth will be the remaining $50,000.
Okay.
I mean, unless you have something else. I'm just saying, if you have that one house.
And what other? And that's great. And what else can be considered as assets? So, like, people that's not really familiar with a lot of the accounting terms can know, because I feel like this is information that a lot of people do need to know.
Okay. Oh, you can, let's see, real estate, stocks, I think also, like, antiques could be an asset.
Okay.
Antiques, or like if you own a popular art work, that could be an asset, something you can sell for more than it's value, like more than you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an asset. Jewelry is classified as asset, like real stones, real diamonds, minerals.
Very interesting.
That could be an asset. If you own like an oil well, or you have oil on your land, that's an asset. I don't know clothes to be an asset. You know, I think those are more liabilities. Like if you buy and spend a lot of money on clothes or going out to eat, that's a liability. Hair, nails, and makeup, as much as women love to spend money on that, that's not an asset because it can't really make us an income from it, and we're spending our money to acquire it. It's not bringing us any money back in.
And that is very true. I'm glad you brought that up, because
that's a liability.
Yeah, that's the main reason I want to ask that question, because a lot of times it is confusing what's an asset and what's a liability, especially when it comes to things that we want. Not necessarily need, but want, like, you know, the clothes, stuff like that. There's a lot of misunderstanding.
Most of our cars are liabilities. We spend, like, if we buy a car, $10,000, just an example,
$10,000. Yeah.
And then we're paying interest on it, so we may pay, like, 5, 6, 8%, 10% interest. So we may pay another, you know, $1,000, $2,000 a year in interest payments. And then we have to pay gas. Right now, gas runs me about, you know, $400 a month, $100 a week,
maintenance.
Just roughly. And then, yeah, then we have the brakes and the tires and insurance every month. So maintenance could be another $2,000 a year.
Yeah.
So that's a liability. But then, if you also may own a classic car that you, you know, bought, I don't know, bought it at an auction or bought it cheap, and then you went and resold it, that could probably be an asset. Or if you own it cash, your vehicle cash, sometimes when you go and apply for like a loan, they'll classify it as an asset under, because if you sell it off, they can, you know, like if you default on a debt or something, they feel like you can sell that off and get the cash out of that.
Great information, definitely well needed. So, like, tell me a little bit more about your business side and doing real estate. I know we gave like a lot of value information, but like, what is like your defines your own business when you're doing real estate? So, tell me about that.
Okay, so I work in residential real estate primarily. I'm just now getting into commercial. Mm-hmm. So I help buyers find a home and negotiate a contract, and I help them with the inspection and the appraisal, helping them get everything just lined up, their financing, helping them with the down payment assistance program if they need help with that. And then also I do consulting with sellers when they're ready to put their home on the market and get it sold.
Great. And I think I've read something a little bit on your website where you do something with charities, I believe.
Yes, so I've pretty much always been involved in charity. I started when I was a teenager. I started like in Texas Children's Hospital, volunteering in Texas Children's because I thought I was going to go into the medical field at that time. And then over time, I've done like Habitat for Humanity. And I think it was this March, February, oh yeah, it was March. In March, we teamed up with Dominique Austin. He has a charity called Tackle for Cancer. Mm-hmm. And we teamed up with him, and I hosted a charity fundraiser at King's Restaurant in Missouri City.
Awesome.
And I've also been a part of the human trafficking charity event. And just various ones around Houston. I'm not a part of like one particular one. I just volunteer if someone calls me to help them with the charity thing.
Well, that's very great because like is we need that a lot more often when it comes to making a big impact into the community, and I'm glad to see you're doing that tremendous effort because, you know, like we can get all these great things, but we always gotta give back and like remember there's always someone out there like probably have a little bit more struggles than you may think of, so that's always good.
And then for Hurricane Harvey, we helped raise money for that in supplies. We teamed up with Portia Stewart of the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes.
She came to Houston, and then we volunteered there, helped with, you know, getting the word out and getting supplies donated. And the number I got, the final number I got was roughly 500 families were helped that day. It was so many people that day, I really lost count. But the final number we got was around 500 people. And we gave out cash checks. We gave out cash checks, and then also, like, because it was close to August. Huh. So when the hurricane happened, so a lot of kids lost their school supplies. We gave out a lot of school supplies and household items. Like no food, people lost their food in a storm, no liquor. sending, the water was sending, I guess, at that time, receiving, I'm sorry, receiving at that time. But it was still water. So we went over there, and that area was really devastated. There was one mosque open. And so we got, I just went live on Facebook, and I just told people we needed so much help. And a lot of people came out and started donating food and hot meals, too, because the people needed hot meals. You know, they haven't had hot meals in like 3 or 4 days.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
And they had no electricity to cook anything, and everything was destroyed. So, and there were some people, and this was so mean, some people were like, well, why did they just get in the car and walk to the store or do the, you know, it was, people have some negative things to say at that time, but I was like, well, you don't understand. There's, you know, your car's been flooded out, and, you know, also you're on a fixed income, so you don't have any money. It's not as easy to just get in the car and go way across town to a store and hope that there's still supplies left. And, and all the gas stations were closed down, too, and that, you know, for a certain amount of distance. So people over there couldn't get, it's not like, you know, even if they got your car, they didn't have enough gas and they couldn't get to the other side of town, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
So we were able to get truckloads of stuff that brought over there for them.
Yeah, it's like when you have, like, devastating storms like that, it reminds you to be grateful for the little things, like food and things like that. You know, like, you don't realize a lot of times, like, how much you really need them until it's gone. So, you know, big credit for you for, like, helping out with things like that. So I'm going to go ahead and shift this a little bit. What is, like, the top three motivators for you as you make your daily steps in life?
My number one motivator is my family. I do pretty much everything I do in life is for them. I have a really large family. So everything I do is to be a good role model for them, show them it can be done. I wanted to touch on something going back to when you said charity and giving back. And, you know, like the reason why I give back. When I was growing up in Houston, I grew up in, you know, poor low-income areas. And growing up, you know, we didn't have, there was times we didn't have food, there was times we didn't have toys during the holiday when all the other kids had toys. Mm-hmm. And people would come into the community and they would bring toys. We had to stand in line, you know, and get our number or whatever, but they'll bring us toys. We had to pick, you know, out some pretty nice things. At least that's what I bought as a kid. I got the toy I wanted, the dollhouse or whatever it was, the bike, whatever it was at that time I wanted. I just remember getting it and being satisfied.
Yes.
And then at the time, you know, we didn't have food. People would come and bring food. So so I would never know who some of those people were, you know. That was back in the 80s, 90s, whatever. I would never know what organization, what person did that for me. So going forward in Houston, I'm going to always give back, always volunteer, always contribute to the city. Because I never want, like, a childhood, like, if I can't, you know, like, if I can, if it's in my power, or if it's in an organization's power, and I can join that organization to help even just give out the toys or whatever, I just don't want anyone in this city to, going forward, to have to look for anything or, like, you know, like, I just want to pay it forward is basically what I'm saying. That's how my way of paying it forward was that maybe when we were out, you know, handing out supplies for people and they needed the supplies or food or cash money, whatever it was, that you know, maybe one day in their life they can go in the future and when someone else needs help, they'll remember that and just go continue to pay it forward in our city.
Right.
And if every person in their city just, you know, like, get out in this community, in their city, and just help out, you know, we can just continue to make the city a better place and help people.
Definitely agree with you on that. So, yeah, always give back, and, like, when things like that, make sure you make impact into your community, because you never know when the ties may flip on the other end. Like, you may be that person needing help, and because of your past actions,
that person... The hurricane showed us that. The hurricane showed us that it didn't matter. Even the million, I mean, I don't know if you saw in the news, like, million-dollar houses in Memorial with Ferraris underwater, you know, and some of those people didn't have insurance because, flood insurance, because, you know, at the, you know, there's a lot of parts of Houston we don't need flood insurance. It just never flooded as bad as Harvey. So you just never know when the tides will turn on you. So always be grateful.
Yes, yes. So that's definitely a big, huge life lesson right there, to appreciate the things that people do for you, and then including the community, because you never know when you
need that. Yeah, and just keep paying it forward.
Yes, yes. So wrapping things up, any closing, like, inspirational marks you want to give to the audience? I know you pretty much hit about your business challenges and, like, making a huge impact into the community. Any closing notes you want to give?
I think that was pretty much it. Just saying, like, I think you're just asking about my motivation, so my family, giving it back to the community, and just try to be a good role model for the people in my community.
Great, 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 great. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and close this episode out. You know, awesome guests with us. Make an impact into your community. Always be grateful for the little things in life, because you never know when the tides may turn. And just stay motivated, you know, do it for your family, friends, brothers, because you never know who's watching. So with this out, you know, it's your host, Chris Holmes, always inspiring you with our special guest by the name of
Daria McBride.
And we're out. So make sure you subscribe, share, and keep the message going. Peace.